G'day there and welcome to our podcast, Everyone Has a Story. My name is John Caruso. You know, opening and successfully running your own business is one thing. Doing it when you've been diagnosed with epilepsy, cerebral palsy and autism is an achievement that deserves recognition and much respect. A year ago, my next guest was out of a job and literally out of options. Today, he operates a successful coffee shop on the Sunshine Coast. Everyone Has a Story, and I'd like you to meet Harrison Hedges.
I've listened to some.
Oh, good on you.
Yeah. I really do love podcasts, so yeah.
Who do you listen to?
His formal title is called a social dynamic coach, and he's one of my social dynamic coaches, and he has a podcast, so his name's Sam Matheson. Yeah, and I listen to his podcast and then, yeah, just some other people's, but yeah.
What does a social dynamic coach do?
So they mainly, like, help with, like relationships and, like, just interacting with people day to day, just breaking down, like, how we should be interacting with everyday people.
Could you share any tips? Because I think that's something that a lot of people have problems with, interacting with everyday people.
Yeah, so like one biggest thing at the moment is that we're kind of working on, myself and Sam, is pushing outside that comfort zone of not staying in that routine of work, home, sleep. It's going and doing an activity after work or having that work-life balance.
So what do you do? Because I could do with an activity after outside of the house.
For me, I do rock climbing. So I just find clinging on to something or grabbing onto an object that's like actually physically there is quite like climbing up a wall or jumping off something once I've completed a task is quite therapeutic for me.
Where do you go rock climbing?
So I go to Rocket down in Warana. So they have an all abilities session on a Thursday night, actually. So yeah, I go down there most Thursday nights to do rock climbing.
And when you talk about that interaction with other people, is that about being social? Is that what happens
being able to have a conversation with a normal person? And well, when I say a normal person, because the word normal's changed so much over the last 5-10 years of what's classified as normal and what's not classified as normal, especially in my sort of perspective of it, because of my barriers and my challenges that I have in life, it's kind of like what was the question?
About how the rock climbing helps you interaction with people.
And well, because you've got to trust people.
Like, yeah, right.
You're on a rope and you've got someone else belaying for you. So you've got to have that open communication with someone to trust them that they're not going to just look the other way and
let you fall.
And let you fall, basically.
Isn't it interesting, though, you know, you talk about this word normal. I'm with you. I mean, I don't think there are, because there are so many, you know, it's a kind of a homogenization of all different kinds of people make up the world these days. Now, you've mentioned a couple of times about your challenges. Are you talking about the epilepsy and the cerebral palsy? Is that what we're
talking about? So I'm talking about the epilepsy and cerebral palsy, but also the autism as well. So.
Okay.
So yeah, we got diagnosed with epilepsy and cerebral palsy when we were around the 6 months and the 12-month mark. So
who's we?
So I always refer to me as
do
we.
Do you? Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So that's just a thing that I have.
Sure.
It's just a thing that I've always had in life,
yeah.
Is I always refer to myself as we.
That's okay. There are some people that refer to themselves in the third person.
And that's just a thing that... people pull me up on all the time.
No, I just thought that you might have had a sibling.
Oh, I do have two siblings.
Who was in the same boat?
I have two older siblings,
yeah.
That are twins, but they don't have the same challenges.
Yeah.
But so
can I ask you why you call them challenges?
because I've grown up in that thing of, I went through high school and I was so accustomed to the word disability. And then once I got out of high school, I realized that it's just like, once you break down the word disability, it has the word ability in it. So that's why I refer to it as a challenge, because challenges can be overcome.
Oh, yeah.
Disability can't. Like,
yeah, right.
You've got to over, like, everyone has challenges in their life. So everyone must have a disability in some way, shape, or form. And you've got to look at it that way of, we all have challenges, we all go through stuff, we all have highs and lows, so therefore there's no real difference between a disability and a challenge, because what's the difference? Can someone explain that? Like, can someone explain what the difference is to me?
Well, again, you know, it comes back to what people's definition of the word normal is. I've got a fair bit of, you know, territory I want to cover with you, because, you know, when I look at you, a lot of people want to run their own business.
Yeah.
But not everybody gets to do that.
No.
And so, you know, for a lot of people, it remains a dream. I want to get in hospital. I want to have a coffee cart. I mean, I had at one stage wanted to run a coffee cart as well. So, you know, from where I'm standing, then looking at what you've achieved, and I think, well, you know, you've done it. You've got it. You're running the coffee. Do you call it a kiosk? What do you call the business? The coffee business.
So I call it a coffee. I actually call it a coffee shop. I don't consider
coffee
it.
Coffee shop.
I don't consider it a coffee kiosk. I consider it either a coffee bar or a coffee shop.
Coffee bar. I like bar. Coffee bar.
Because, like, you think about it, people sit there and they interact and they have a chat, and, like, on an average day, I see about probably anywhere between 50 customers to 100 customers, and they all come with different stories. They all come with different backgrounds. But the way that we have it set up here is, they don't have their exclusive tables. They don't have, like, we've got two long big tables. We've got all your little small tables. So they kind of have to sit on the same table to interact with each other. So there's that sense of community there.
Well, like I said, you've done it. You're up and running. And we'll talk about this a little bit more about the coffee shop. But let's go back to, where did you grow up? Were you a Sunshine Coast kid?
No. So I actually grew up in Townsville. And then obviously due to my challenges and health conditions, we kind of had to make a quick move up here very recently.
How long ago?
Probably 17 years now.
Yeah.
So when I was in grade 4, we moved up here because obviously there was better healthcare and just better access to doctors. So at the time, we were seeing a child neurologist in the Royal Brisbane Hospital. And obviously, like, my dad, he worked for Queensland Rail for 27 years, and he got a transfer up here, and we kind of had to make the move up here because we just saw the opportunity of the healthcare down in Townsville wasn't...
There's more support.
There was more support up here, and there was more a lifestyle up here that it's what mum and dad thought was the best thing to do at the time. And we'd, because of my two older siblings, we'd have more opportunity as a family up here.
So where did you go to school?
So for 3 years I went to Wee Estate School down in Townsville, and then we moved up to Strathpine on the north side of Brisbane, and I did all my primary school at Strathpine State School, and then I actually went to a co-ed Catholic school, but it specialised in special education.
Yeah.
Or what the education department would call special education. And I went to Mount Maria Petrie, and they, like, that's probably where I kind of had my most challenging years, but my most, like, by the time I got to year 12, I knew that, okay, this is the industry that I want to be in. This is the industry that I know I need to be in, because it's an industry that's never going to die. It's a customer focus driven industry. And that's what I wanted to do. Like, I didn't want to be in any other industry but the hospitality industry. Don't get me wrong, like, I've tried other industries. Like, I've tried retail, I've tried call centers, I've tried business admin. Just not for me.
You keep talking about, you know, how the particular school there was quite challenging. How did you, what was your coping mechanism? So I have a son that's 11, and I always think, you know, as a parent, I'd like to think that, you know, if he had any issues or troubles, or that he would talk openly and freely with me as his dad. What was your, like, who did you talk to? Did you have someone to talk to? Did you have someone that you could confide in? And what kept you going? Like, what kept you motivated?
I guess over high school, I didn't really have that support network. And even, like, leaving high school up until this point, like, it's only become, like, the last sort of year and a half that I've found sort of what people would call their tribe or their close friends.
People that share common interests.
That share commonalities, and people that value, that have the same values and morals as you. So, like, growing up in high school and being the odd person out was very hard because I never really had that that structure to go to someone when I had that that challenge that I couldn't really overcome. So my coping mechanisms were very different to what they are now, because I would be that kid that would run off and not understand what someone would say and have to deal with it a very different way. Meaning, like, I would, like, for me, like, if I got frustrated in a classroom, I would remove myself from the classroom and literally go for a 20-minute walk around the oval, because that was my coping mechanism. And that's what worked back then, but obviously being the owner and operator of a coffee shop now, that's not the case. That
you don't take off when the staff frustrate you, or
no, and I can't. I've got to put on a face, and I've got to put on a mentality of, okay, this is how we deal with it, that's how I do it. But I guess it comes back to finding your tribe and finding your people that show commonalities. So then at the end of the day, you know that you have someone that you can go to and you go, hey, like, this has happened today.
And is that your coach, the guy that you were talking about?
Or
that was a podcast, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that's like, my coach is definitely in that group. But I have, like, I only have two best friends. And
that's how many people have close best friends.
And I adore them to bits. And like, so their names are, I have one female friend, best friend, which is named Annie, and she does all our baking here. Like, she does every single cake that's in the cabinet. And then I have another best friend, which is my male best friend, which is Jack, and he literally has been there the whole time that I've been trying to set up this business and trying to get it off the ground, because it's been probably 6 years in the making trying
really?
To get it off the ground, and because I've been in hospitality for 11 years and like, it hasn't been that easy sort of run where you go, cool, like, I'll be in this job for this long, or it's been very short stints, because the thing that people realize, or the people things that they don't realize actually, and I'm trying to make a change in this industry because of my experience in industry, is that I have been in industry for so long, and I've seen things where I've been employed, but the only reason I got employed was because the government gives out wage subsidies, and some employers want those wage subsidies more than they want a good employee. So they'll do anything at any chance to give someone a job. So then once you get to the, because in the disability employment services, they have what's called a 13-week benchmark and a 26-week benchmark. And if you're registered with one of them and you get put into employment with them, like I did with multiple employees, they tend to get a subsidy at that 13-week benchmark and that 26-week benchmark.
So you haven't felt that employers have been giving you a gig because they value your talent.
They don't value...
But more about...
It's more about the money.
The assistance that they've... Right.
So I'm trying to... My goal and my mission that I set out to do 6 years ago when I kind of clicked on and I was old enough to kind of... So when I hit 21, I kind of clicked on to this pattern happening in employment because I started... gaining jobs for 3 months, then losing them, and then gaining another job for 3 months in hospitality through these DES providers, and then losing them after the wage subsidy had been paid. And I was like, why does this keep happening? And I was like, oh, that's why it keeps happening. So then we kind of just kept working for someone and kind of just kept building up our skills. And we always wanted a full-time role, but we could never gain a full-time role because people were like, well, you're not fast enough, you're not capable enough, you can only do this task because you're only good at this task. And I just kind of got sick of it. And I was like, one day I'm just going to open up my own coffee shop and I'm just going
to... Do it yourself.
Do it myself. Like, don't get me wrong, the wage subsidies are great and they help out tremendously. But for an employer trying to employ someone with challenges, that shouldn't be their driver. Their driver should be making a difference, because the way I see it is my employees should come in one way, but they should leave another way. Like, they should, if they want to move on, or if I never want an employee to stay more than 2 years, technically. I always want them to move on to their next, because let's be honest, we're always in a forever changing world. There's always a next for someone. Like, obviously when you own a business, there's always that thing of...
And growth. That's right.
You always want to see someone grow. So I always want to see someone walk in one way but leave another way.
Yeah. Let's talk about the business, because with the podcast and the people that I talk to, it's always good to have an understanding of how businesses start and that progression and that pathway.
Yeah.
So did you start with a business plan?
Yeah,
and
so...
I want to talk about finance and who you had to talk to about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And who helped you with that kind of stuff?
It's a funny story how I started out my business. So we had actually... so this was a very unplanned purchase,
About the equipment?
Pardon?
The equipment?
No, so like just the business in general. So back in February last year, I lost my job. So I was a hospitality consultant for a major coffee company. And I, due to coronavirus, I was actually working in Brisbane International Airport as a coffee consultant, and making sure like coffee quality was there, everything. And one day I got an email from the HR manager and she's like, hey, can you come in for a meeting at this time? I was like, cool, like this is gonna be like a really good meeting, like it's just gonna be working out the next steps for the business and what's going on. Got in there and she sat me down and she's like, unfortunately, your role has been made redundant. We can't no longer keep you. But it was also the fact of they didn't want me because of my disability or my challenge. And it, that kind of hurt at the time. And I was like, cool.
Not cool.
But we walked away from there going, okay, what's my next? And at the time, this was probably 6 days before the Prime Minister announced...
it was about March last year.
February, March last year, before the Prime Minister actually started doing the press conferences and whatnot. And
the COVID stuff.
And announcing us into a global pandemic and a state of emergency. So I kind of was like, I was out of work for 3 months. And I just remember sitting, so I was living in Bowen Hills at the time. And my housemate had actually flown back from Europe. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'll just stay put in this apartment block. And then once June, July hits, I'll move up to the Sunshine Coast for uni. And unfortunately, due to him coming back from Europe, he had actually declared to me that he had symptoms, and we had to quickly, in 24 hours, change everything that we were going to do, and we had to move into a hotel for 2 weeks, and we were just like, cool.
Okay.
And it was the most petrifying 2 weeks of my life, because I was like, okay, I've got no job, I've got no income, I've got no family support, because my family had...
Where were they? Were they still here?
They were still in Brisbane, but they were living in Burbengary at the time, and my sister, who lives with my mum and dad, had a six-month-year-old baby at this point, and because I had worked at the airport, we were so worried that I may have come in contact with someone, because we were like, because it was within that 2 week period that like people were coming in and out of the airport to get home, and I was like, okay, so I'll just go into a hotel for 2 weeks, and then once that 2 weeks had come up, I had decided to move back with mum and dad permanently, and mum and dad only have like a one bedroom house, so we had to convert the shed into a house. We had to buy a caravan for me to live in, and that was an interesting time.
Like, this is mid-year last year.
So no job, no nothing, and like anyone that knows me personally knows that with my challenges, I love to work. Like I love doing what I do. I hate sitting still. So we went stir crazy for probably 2.5 months, because like I was just at home 24/7 because of like all the things that go in my life. Like we were immune compromised, so we had to sit at home for two to three months and do nothing, and it was petrifying because I had no income coming in. But lucky at the time, I was also a personal trainer. So I'm a qualified personal trainer by trade. And we were lucky enough to receive JobKeeper. So that's kind of what started stemming the idea of investing into a coffee kiosk. And then one afternoon actually, I was sitting in the caravan and I got a call from one of my mates one of my friends that I know from Tim Adams, and he's like, hey, Harry, we have this great opportunity for you on the Sunshine Coast. It's at Big Top.
So was that an established business?
Yeah, so
you bought that over?
Yeah, right, it used to be the old Good Bean.
Okay.
That used to be in Big Top. And he's like, hey, like, I'll refer you to the guy who owns it currently. Give him a call and check it out. And I came up and I had a chat, and I was like, cool, this is all I need. And we kind of agreed on a price, and I was like, for that much, like, you only want that much.
I thought it was a good deal.
I thought it was a good deal. I won't say how much, because obviously. Uh-huh. But I kind of just started doing my research, and I kind of saw this gap. I've always seen this gap in industry. And I was like, what's my two main passions in life? And my two main passions in life, for anyone that knows me, is because not only have I been a personal trainer, and not only have I been a barista for 11 years, I've also been a disability support worker, because I think what we have in life also drives us as well. So because of my challenges and because what I've been through, I always wanted to see the other side of it as being a disability support worker. So I did that for about 2.5 years, and I was like, that's always been a passion of mine, is to help people with challenges or disabilities. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to do a coffee shop, I'm going to use my knowledge and my gift or my platform to better support the people that don't get an opportunity in this industry, because
by getting them to work,
by getting them into work,
and
supporting them and training them, because I know how hard it is to be on that employee side of it and not be understood and not be heard and not have a voice in industry, and have that thing of, oh no, you're only good for this job and that's your job and you do that and you don't have an opinion in this industry. So I know that feeling, and I was like,
so everybody you employ is also kind of comes under that, you know, that
not everyone, because I think you've got to have that balance. Like, you've definitely got to have that balance, because obviously running a business, it's very different than either managing establishment or being in a supervisor's role, because you've obviously got payroll, you've got finance to do, you've got your day-to-day stuff, you've got to be behind the counter, you've got to be there to greet your
customers. Don't you have to do all of that for the shop now?
Yeah, I've got to do all that.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I mean. Like, you've got to have a balance between hiring people with challenges and hiring... How do I put this in a way that's not going to offend anyone? Hiring people with challenges, but also hiring people that have low challenges. Let's put it that way. Because it's a fine line, especially in employment, because so many people are fighting for EOs. So EOs are...
What's EO?
EOs are equal opportunity employment. And there's a big push for it in industry at the moment, especially my industry, because everyone wants to be known as an EO and everyone wants to be heard in industry. But you've got to obviously have that driver and why you do it. And I think when you go into business, especially a hospitality industry business, you've got to have a why behind you.
I'm learning a lot today. This is great.
That's got to be your driver, and I think my experience in the industry is my driver, and I saw that gap between the amount of people with challenges that have a job in the industry versus the amount of people that want a job that have challenges in the industry. And I just was like, I'm not happy with the way that our industry portrays this, because they say that they want to employ people, yet when push comes to shove...
They're not genuine.
They're not genuine about it. So therefore, nothing gets done about it, or nothing gets... It's just kind of like, cool, I'll employ you, but I'm only after the money side of it. And that didn't sit well with me after my last employer. And I was like, cool, I'm going to start, because we can have dreams and we can have goals, but those dreams and goals aren't a thing unless we action them and put them into real time and put them into actual physical, tangible things that we can touch and do every day.
Look, what a great initiative. And I mean, you know, when you said you have to have a why, you have to have a purpose, that's, you know, because I was going to ask you the point of difference, and you've explained that, and you've explained the why as well, and I think that's great. Do you know of anybody else that's doing similar to, like, in the hospitality industry, but...
I don't...
Who's actually leading a team and driving a team?
I don't know anyone else that's doing this, and I think, for me, that's my biggest driver, is I have such a wide variety of knowledge of this kind of stuff, and that's my driver in industry, is to physically make a change and put a wide call out to everyone that's either, like, I don't want to sound rude or sound arrogant, but, like, I want to make a statement of, I want to put that call out to every employer that's either employed myself or employed someone and then gone, oh, sorry, I don't think you're the right fit for my business because you've got X, Y, Z. You've got to look beyond that physical barrier or that mental barrier and go, this person actually has some really good qualities. Like, there's a reason why I employed them in the first place. And if you employ them for the money aspect, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Like, you're absolutely doing it for the wrong reasons. Like, the money's not everything. Like, the money's only a small portion. Like, people like myself and people that have challenges have so much more to offer. Like my biggest thing is being loyal, and like that's the thing I see in other people, is if you give them the time of day, they will bend over backwards for you. Like, they'll do whatever you ask them to do when you ask them to do it, and how you ask them.
And it's
to
a
do
domino
it.
Effect. I mean, yeah. It's like a what's that? The pass it on. What's the movie? I can't think of
it. Oh, pay it forward.
Pay it forward.
It's the pay it forward effect.
That's right. That's right. What are I know you. You know, you talk about yourself and the challenge that you face, but I want to know what's one of the hardest things in a day-to-day operation for running the coffee shop? Is it like I'm talking about like suppliers or cash flow or what the business side of it? What's one of the hardest things?
I think it's just finding that steady flow where you try and get in a rhythm, and you try and get in a steady flow of okay, because I'm a very routine person, and as anyone is, like, I haven't met anyone that doesn't love a routine. And I think that comes from my autism, is I love routine and I love patterns. Like, I love structure and I love patterns to a T. So I think having that structure and having that pattern, but I guess running a coffee shop, some days are, no 2 days are different.
You're saying it's very similar?
It's very similar, but no 2 days are ever the same when it comes
to... Why is that? What? Customer? Like, in what way?
Oh, just like some days may be slow and I may get all my admin work done in the morning, but then other days, like today, like I was super busy from the moment I walked in the door and hadn't even turned on the lights to like probably when I leave this afternoon.
And does that put your rhythm or flow out?
It doesn't put my rhythm and flow out, but like some days it's just, it's nice to have that consistency. And I think that's the biggest challenge, is finding that happy medium and finding that flow that I'm happy with.
Is there something I haven't asked you or talked to you about that you think when it comes to your story and your business that's really important, that might be really like a nugget of gold for someone else to listen to or that they should know about?
I think for me it's just, if like my biggest thing is if you have a dream or you have a goal, just give it a go. Like, there's nothing wrong with just giving it a go or letting it kind of like putting it down on paper. That's my biggest thing, is put it down on paper. And then kind
of starts to become real.
It becomes real. Like, that's the thing, is like, this didn't become real until I physically saw the site and saw it put on paper and physically saw the figures behind everything and saw the tangible items. And that really was my driver behind it. And I think once you have that goal and once you have that vision behind you, don't let other people's opinions kind of stop you. Like, everyone has an opinion. as my dad says, everyone has an opinion. They're like assholes. They're like us. They're like buttholes. They basically, everyone has one. It's whether we let those opinions affect us and how we let those kind of betray our everyday things, and whether we want to take them on board. Like, we have the opportunity to take them on board, or we have an opportunity to say, thank you for your opinion, I'll take that on board, but I'm going to leave it over here.
It's a great quote. There's a comedian called Dave Chappelle, more relevant to people that work in the creative industry, like stand-up comics and artists and people like that. And when he talks about opinions, and he says, I think the quote's something along the lines of, isn't it sad when your happiness relies on other people's opinion? Which probably doesn't directly relate to running a small business. I know it's a bit of a cliche question, but in 5 or 10 years, would you like to own like a string of coffee shops?
So,
it's like the Starbucks of...
So I wouldn't classify mine as a Starbucks.
I didn't mean that in the comparison of the brand, but in terms of its size and its franchise opportunities.
Like, I definitely see growth for my brand. And that's the thing I look at when I look at hiring staff, is the longevity.
Like training somebody who will then go and open their own?
Yeah, or training someone that will then go to manage one of my others, like manage
How many
another.
Do you have?
I only have the one at the moment.
For a minute there, I thought, man, you've got a string of them already.
No. The goal is to open 5 in 5 years.
Oh, good.
So then that's my goal, is to train up people that actually encompass the same vision, the same goals, and the same ethos as me. Because the ethos has always been employing people with challenges and bettering their life and bettering their quality of life and their outlook on life. Because I think sometimes we get in this mindset of, okay, I've got this, I'm only good for this, or I can only do...
Limitations.
Yeah, we put limitations on ourselves, which are somewhat unrealistic. So therefore, it's not beneficial for us as people. So yeah, my goal is to build up a team that then can go, I'm gonna run this store, you run this store, you run this store, and then I'm just the one that oversees it.
And I'll count the money.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Like, I
No, no, you've said that that's not important to you, which is great.
Like, money's great. Money's great. But, like, it's not the...
It's not your motivator.
It's not my motivator. My motivator is putting people in meaning. I've always said this from the start, and I'll say it again. It's putting people in meaningful employment. It's not just putting people in employment for the sake of giving someone a job. Like, if I wanted to give someone a job and utilize like JobMaker and all of those fundings, I would have 20 staff in there, but I don't want to. Like, what's the point of it? I want to give someone meaningful employment that in 5-10 years time, they'll go and hopefully open their own branch or their own coffee shop, and they'll then have a flow on effect because some employees invested, or I've invested enough time into them to go, this employer has valued me enough to then give me the skills and knowledge to go do what I then want to go do in life.
What's that old religious parable? I can give them fish and rice, or I can teach them how to fish and teach them how to farm.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been
That's
great.
Okay.
Harrison Hedges was my guest today from Whatcha Brewing Specialty Coffee Co. here on Everyone Has a Story. If you enjoyed that, if you think that's a story that other people may relate to, then please feel free to share it about on your social media networks. Let people know where they can find it on all good podcast platforms and on Apple and Spotify. Please rate and review. Until next time, take care.